line with us. Take a look at some of these numbers is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Todd.
Hey, a couple of things. I just got back from a meeting. I was with the Campus Charitable Fund Drive Committee this morning. I've served on that committee for a long time and wanted to thank all the folks here on the Urbana-Champaign campus for the donations. During that drive, we achieved our goal, $1.3 million raised on this campus. An interesting tidbit, Michael, of all the state agencies, and that would include the universities, the Urbana-Champaign campus raises more than anybody else combined. So thanks to all the folks that donate. Just an idea that those who happen to listen to us and give to WILL back here on campus, we're doing our job too, I think. So thanks so much for that. And, oh, and by the way, Mike, thanks to you for volunteering your time on our air. We do appreciate that too.
I enjoy it every single week and every single time I do it. I appreciate all the people that I get to know around the area. And, you know, it's a nationwide program, and it's really neat to even hear in other states the ag sector is being penetrated by University of Illinois and what you do. So it's really my honor.
Oh, thank you so much. And it really is kind of fun because we've been freed more or less by the social media aspect and the internet from just our ability to reach out where the antenna goes. And WILL AM 580 reaches about 136 counties, officially 170 unofficially, that stretch from upper Illinois right at the border. If you're in the right spot, you can listen to us nearly in Madison, Wisconsin, all the way down to Louisville, Kentucky, and over on the other side of Indianapolis. So it's really cool to have that happen. But they listen, Mike, because of folks like you, and they want to know what you're thinking about the marketplace today. I want to start, I think, with the grains today. Wheat has been the dog in this race. It remains that way. How heavy is that marketplace?
Very heavy right now. In fact, France in the Paris milling wheat is making new contract lows. This even though the French government just reported a record December export pace in wheat for the month and beating last year by quite a bit, Todd. But what we're seeing right now, I think, in large part with the wheat and the fact that it's pulling down the corn once again, is A, we don't have the weaker dollar, the sharply lower dollar in place that we had this week so far. The jobs report on Friday was looked upon as friendly for a Federal Reserve rate increase, possibility as early as March once again. And so we've had a sharp increase in the dollar. Probably the most important feature, though, has been what Egypt is doing or not doing. We've gone through several attempts for France to sell wheat to Egypt. They've either canceled tender, they've rejected delivery. They had a fresh export tender on Thursday. Offers came in, and about an hour and a half ago, they rejected those tenders as well. I think it's really opening up the discourse in the global wheat market as to whether Egypt has the funds to pay for wheat or not, and it at least keeps that issue fresh in the potential seller's mind. So no question about it in my mind, soft red wheat here in the United States is getting a real push down thanks to that record low, or excuse me, contract low in the milling wheat in Paris.
Well, go back and say that again for me so I can think about this just a bit. What happened with Egypt and the French wheat market at this point?
Well, earlier this week, and this has been going on for well over a week, the Egyptian government put out a standard for a type of particulate or fungus, or I'm not sure exactly what it was, but it was, I think, an ergo fungus, if memory serves me right, that was below international standards. And so they rejected a shipment or two, we're not sure how many. Right now it's sounding like about 63,000 tons of French wheat. This then turned the international market into a question mark as far as why is Egypt rejecting something that's below international standards. And then we had heard through the grapevine and rumor mill that lines of credit had not been able to get established for Egypt. Keep in mind, they are a major player with the oil market, and these lower oil prices are really hurting their government spending and their government revenues. So the latest has been the GASC put out wheat tender offers. Even though they had some quality issues that were the global sellers were still fighting. They got offers, received offers on that wheat tender, but then about an hour and a half ago, Egypt canceled that tender. And so we're sitting here wondering, what exactly does Egypt need? And is this representative of the rest of the Middle East right now as far as the Egyptian and Middle Eastern imports of wheat?
Okay, so in the grand scheme of things, and the reason I made you repeat this is that we recall for the thawing of the Mideast, it was a food problem that created the ability for some of those Middle Eastern countries and the citizens to begin to rally there. This may be another entity in that mark. So something we have.
Exactly. This is the flip side with the exact identical potential outcome of the same type of inflationary pressure on bread and food prices, depending on how much wheat they actually have.
Oh, wow. Well, something we will definitely have to keep track of, and a broader perspective of what's happening in the Mideast across the global economic and political side, I suppose, for producers, grains and oilseeds, corn and soybeans, anything of import for them today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing that we saw this week is we had negative bean export sales. We have improving Argentine weather. We had these Egyptian cancellations and rejections. And then we had crude oil and ethanol supply builds on the weekly numbers. And no, the grains aren't rallying, but except for wheat, which is down back to the January 12th report levels. But corn and beans have been able to hold in there in a low ball trading range. No, we're not at 385 March corn, but we're, you know, at 365 and haven't gone back down to those major lows. And I think it's in large part due to this asset allocation of the sharply lower dollar, the 12-week high in the gold, and the ability of the crude oil to stay up around that 3240 level, which were those 2008 lows. Unfortunately, the way this supply-demand week this picture has turned out, Todd, I think the report takes an added importance in the priority of USDA's report next week, especially the South American production numbers and supply-demand figures adds a higher level of importance to what the grain prices do as we, you know, figure this base price, base crop price out for the February base price.
Michael, as always, intensely interesting to talk with you. Can't wait for our conversation this afternoon.
Lots more to talk about. Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Mike Gazuzzolo, he's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, joins us here on the Mid-Morning Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. Let's start with the crude oil. The March contract at $31.94 a barrel is now up 22 cents. Ethanol futures is 2 6 tenths of a cent higher at $1.44. The wholesale price of gasoline on the Bob at a dollar penny even is down a penny and 8 cents, and diesel fuel or heating oil is down a penny, or rather down a tenth of a cent at $1.07 8 tenths of a cent. Natural gas at 204 8 tenths is up 7 6 tenths, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average is 112 points lower at 16,215. Find us online at WILLAG.org.